Chav Lamed Vav is like he packs in a tremendous amount in one ice. I'm not sure like why he did that, why he put so much in one ice. Kaven b'tfiloscha, you should have kavana when you daven. Ki atfila hi avodas halev, tfila is avodas halev. So the main thing is not your mouth; it's your kavana. If your child would speak to you, not focused on what he's saying, just saying the words or not really thinking about what he's saying, you would be upset. If that's true from one human being to another human being, from a tipa srucha to the malka shel olam, the Kal v'chomer is magnified many, many times. Furthermore, do not be like the Eved, which the master gave him a very chashuv work to do for his benefits. He destroyed it. So it's ridiculous that you should destroy it. Well, what's he going to do to come back afterwards to the king? After he destroyed this golden opportunity that he had with his own hands, it would be very good. You have to daven for mechila, for asking for mechila. I pointed out in the 1 year in my previous slichos shmuz. So we say, most people the minute they say vidi three times. There's 22 oisius in the vidui. So really, actually, 20 do 23 really. So 3 times 23 is 69. And then you say salichas 6 times during the Saras Mitzvah, and at least 4 times before. Right, so at least 10 times. So 690 times that you said slach lonu, you asked for mechila, but you didn't really mean it. So you say vidui peh and yom kippur. You have 690 new averas that to say for al chetchav lefenachem vidui peh. Right. So you only say, instead of the current grow, you only say the vidui one time. So you don't have 690. You only have 230. So that's an advantage to go at the grow, because you only have the say vidui peh, the chetchav vidui peh. Now this year at Baruch Hashem, we have 7 times of Rosh Hashanah plus 4. Plus 6 is 13. So this year you have more opportunities to have what to say. A person not able to have kavana in all of the tefillas. You can't go, but the minimum is the first bracha of Shemin Esrei, the first pasuk of Shema. If a person doesn't have kavana in that, he's not yotze. Now he just slammed in into one ice, like, you know, a cold turkula. You have kavana in your tefillah, because it's mamash. Otherwise, it's very insulting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then he starts getting involved and asking, you know, the paragraph of slach lonu without kavana is like really bad. It says if you can't be mekav, at least be mekav for the first bracha. So like, okay, so you should know mitzad. I started off with kavana. I meant the whole tefillah. Specific example of that is slach lonu, because it comes with its own price tag besides the everything else. So you ask for a fool without kavana. So you ask for a fool without kavana. You ask for slach lonu without kavana. You really blew it. Chazal Abayis did not say that was ma'akev. Chazal what says ma'akev is the first bracha. So mitzad hilchos tefillah, you can be answered with that. You still have a problem that you insulted Kadosh Baruch Hu by slach lonu that you have. So I don't think he's taking that away. So let's go back to the beginning of the thought. So kavein mitfiloscha. So the word kavana is this difficult word to understand exactly what the word kavana means. You know, that we talk about, you know, even in modern Hebrew, we talk about a person going in a certain direction. He's going, basically, kibun. I don't know what direction are you going? So the word kibun means a direction. So what is the connection between direction and what we call kavana, which usually translate as focused, understanding, you know, how we translate it. So Rabbi Kaplan, in one of his works, suggests that the word kavana means directed thought. Focused thought, it means directed thought. Right. And suppose there is that the purpose of the idea of kavana is we understand that we have some type of a purpose, a goal that we're trying to accomplish, and we're using our thought process. We're trying to take together our thought processes to focus in and accomplish that. So it's not pirush hamilas, it's focus. It's the focus which we said the person should have kavana and tefillah. It's not they should know what the words mean. He should be have his thoughts directed towards it. So a person theoretically knows what the first paragraph of the first pasuk of Shema means, but he's not focusing on what it's saying to him. He didn't really accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish. I know what the words mean. Shema Yisrael, Hashem. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Okay, is that really what you would say? Were you really Yotze with that? Right. Now, Ramosh actually said, he says in Yiddish, but he says that's Pirush Hamilas. He's been Mechadish over there since for our purposes, the uses of the word God includes Hoya Hebeviya Adon HaKol, so that fulfills the obligation of the Kavona for the word the Shem of Adnus, the Shem of Avaya, the Shem of Elohim. We sort of mix it all into one. That's his point in his tshuva. Because our halachic definitions of what those words are supposed to mean, so the word for us, the word which we use to describe the master of the world, includes all of those thoughts. So Herzu Yisrael, God is unser God. God is eins in the Himmel and off in air. Is genug. That's enough to fulfill your obligation. Okay, fine. That's not the point. The point isn't to say words, right? The person could say those words, but if he didn't focus in his the thought, which means there was some type of interaction between him and the thought, it didn't change him. He didn't really get it. I once asked this goes back years, person I was clothed with, I wanted to ask him how his davening was. He says, I don't know, why daven? Like, how's your davening? Like, what's the two options? You davened, tired versus not tired. Like, what were the two options? Like, so I said, no, do you have a good davening or not a good davening? He said, you know what the bunch of the words meant. I said, well, did the davening inspire you? Did it talk to you? Did it change you? Did it affect you? Did you walk out of davening different than you walked into davening or not? If you walked out of davening the same you walked into davening, you never go davening. If you walked out different, it helped you in some way. It connected you better to your Creator and inspired you, gave you hope, challenged you, dedicated you. So then you had to go davening. He's like, you looked at me like I'm for we're not communicating. Like, what do the words mean? So Baruch Hashem, by bad hashpah on the fellow over the years. So now, he talks about the davening. He stops beforehand and he sits and he thinks, and he tries to understand what the words mean. And I was like, Baruch Hashem, I bad hashpah on him. Look, Kavanah Tefillah means that there should be a process. Tefillah is a process. We spoke about it a little bit Sunday night. I was a little bit frustrated. I am a little bit frustrated because I had to cover all seven things on the card in the time span of 30, 5 minutes. I can't cover seven things on a card of 35 minutes. I could probably cover one in 35 minutes. But the bottom line is that tefillah is part of Avodas Halev. So it's Avodas Halev. If it's truly Avodas Halev, it should affect you. It's fascinating. There's a line from Revolver writes that somebody asked him, it's so difficult to have Kavanah because we keep, it's always the same words. And Revolver looked at him like, I don't understand the problem. Like, you're a different person. So you're a different person, the words mean something different to you. Right? We all understand that a 10-year-old says the words of Shemoneh Esrei. They speak to him differently than a 50-year-old, an 80-year-old. Right? The words have a different meaning to him. Right? So in his world, from Shachar to Mincha, you grew. So the words have a different meaning to you. Especially if he says, I don't understand the problem. So he's we all get the problem. Right? He didn't even get the problem. Tefillah is it's a process of a human being absorbing the ideas, the messages. And in that process of a human being absorbing the ideas and messages, you know, if a person gives himself the time to like actually absorb them and think about them, tefillah could be, you know, it really could be life changing. You know, the idea that, that we stand in front of a creator, that we stand in front of our master, that we talk to him, that we ask from him, that we thank him. You know, just like if we wouldn't destroy it with our own hands, we would be like, you know, jumping out of our skin from excitement. Right? So, because there's all the halachas which are crafted, the rices, the rabbanans, and hagim, to try and make it a better experience. Mother Mashalom, I talk about. The halacha, you're not talking about basic kinesis. Basic medrash, B'daycha, you're not talking about basic medrash. So good, so nowadays we're very worried about this. It's halacha, you have to care for the halacha. So you build your basic kinesis all tonight, doesn't get into basic kinesis, similarly, you know, over the Isra, so we make a kinesis. So we solve the problem. Really? Right? Imagine you walk. Somebody told me that he knows a certain kilo of Svardim that they don't talk about basic classes. There's no dibur shochel of basic classes. So you can understand when you walk into that building, you go into a different mode. There's not one word said over there but tefillah. So you walk into the room and you're like, but you already go into a different thought process. You go into a different mode. You create a zone for yourself. The halacha before davening, the person not supposed to get involved in any other asik other than davening. Sarchi mitzar mutter. Sarchi rishos or asr. You're not supposed to have a conversation with people before davening. Imagine a person walk in, the first thing he did, immediately starts davening. He doesn't schmooze, doesn't do this, doesn't say, Lord, everybody, you know, I suddenly walk into the minyan, that's a beautiful, people come to the minyan early, and they schmooze. Like, no. You know. It totally destroys the first thing human being does when they wake up in the morning is they speak to the Creator. There's a halachas of washing your hands. There's a halachas of how you stand. There's a halachas of how you you don't raise your voice too high because Hashem hears without raising your voice. There's, you know, you're supposed to stand there with the process of Ema and Yira. Like there's so many different halachas which are the supportive halachas which when done properly create a mode that a human being walks into it like it's like he goes into a different world. The Rebbeinu Yonah would describe as the process of tefillah that a person b'shas tefillah perceives himself as if he's oimed in b'tnei hashkina. He reaches the majority of korav l'nevuah. It's a lashon of the Rebbeinu Yonah. Now I don't know about you, but I very rarely had. I don't know exactly what nevuah feels like. So maybe I have. I don't know. But you know, I have more like, you know, if the nevuah is represented by sleep, I relate to that part of tefillah. I've had sleeping parts of tefillah, but nevuah and tefillah, I'm almost like I'm korav l'nevuah. That's a process of tefillah. Like, you know, it's sad. Like we don't even know what the words mean. We don't even know the idea that there's such a thing called tefillah that's what tefillah is supposed to look like. Tefillah by us is saying words. Right. That a person should walk out of a tefillah inspired, affected, given hope. I'm challenged and I'm worried, etc. Now I have hope and I feel better. I spoke to my I went and spoke to my Creator. So I relax now. I feel better. I mean that's what should happen with a tefillah. And we're so removed from it that it's like so. That's the first two words. Kabein mitfilos. So we accomplished. We got a little bit done over here today. Good.